we can see that in the 189 Kiefer, so the Kiefer Block buildings, and so those are on the northwest corner of Kiefer and Main. You can see that the corner unit is empty. We've got a high-end bar down Kiefer, as well as vegan pizza, I believe, right on Main Street. And in a few other, of these other buildings, we can see that that the retail units are either just empty, or they're in the process of being emptied. Whether it's businesses that are saying that they're trying to pass on their lease, or that they're selling, and that's the case as well for Brixton Flats, which is the development at Pender and Gore, which you might remember from their construction when they when a piece of material fell through the roof of the Lees Society, and you might also remember that that's where the it's the building that covered up the Lao Tzu mural. And so you can see that with these empty units, rather than being a draw to the community, rather than bringing more people, more foot traffic down into Chinatown by being an attraction, these empty storefronts more end up having a chilling effect as well, where you know, it's quite inaccessible, and it looks and the streetscape looks quite cold, where you have so many empty units, especially when these are large glass facades as opposed to designs that are I guess more in line with the historic and current context of Chinatown.
That's very interesting, and I guess that's. I thank you for sharing your knowledge with me here. That raises some red flags, I suppose. Knowing that there are so many empty lots in Chinatown that are owned by these large corporations, these large properties, but then also knowing that a lot of community members have been struggling to find places where they can organize and do activities. I think I heard recently that, actually, I think it was from the May 29th public hearing where there was a Chinese elder who mentioned that her exercise group needed a place to go, and they were at an empty lot practicing their exercises, and the property managers called the cops on them. That is a big concern.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a concern with ensuring that we do have space that's accessible. For example, the actually the city policies and guidelines actually mentioned that Chinatown Memorial Square, which is the square right in front of 105 Kiefer, it serves as the main public space, public open space in Chinatown. So the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Park, it's is free to enter, unlike the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden, which is paid admission. But that the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Park does close at certain hours, and is actually often gated up. But the Memorial Square is open for use all around the clock, essentially. And so it's important that we preserve and maintain these kinds of publicly accessible, truly publicly accessible spaces in a neighborhood that's that needs them so urgently.
Definitely, I definitely agree with you on that. So we've discussed, the ways that this development could affect kind of like the economy and cultural aspects of Chinatown at length. And it doesn't really seem like it's really serving the people of Chinatown. So can 105 Kiefer be done right for the residents?
Yeah, I think not in its current iteration. So I don't think that what BD is putting forward or has any previous iteration that they've put forward in the past has really served the needs of the community. I think there's a whole, I can envision a whole host of ways in which 105 Kefir could be developed that could actually do right by Chinatown and do right by community members, residents, as well as even people who have more tenuous connections to the neighborhood. But I think that right now, as it stands, BD's proposal does none of that, and so that's quite unfortunate. And so the hearing that's was actually started on May 29th, but they have postponed their decision. I believe that there were so many speakers on the 29th that they had to that's the reason why they're shifting the next leg of the hearing to be on June 12th. And so what the development permit board will be deciding on June 12th isn't if there's if this current proposal could be modified to serve the needs of Chinatown better, because they can really only look at design aspects as well as submissions from the community. And so what they're looking at is whether this proposal is right for Chinatown or if it's not. And in our view, it is not. And the I guess the shaping of what it could look like and what how 105 Kefir could be developed in a way that does serve the needs of the community, that's something that would definitely need meaningful engagement with Chinatown residents, with seniors, with organizations in the neighborhood. But that's something that would only be able to be considered if the v development permit board does reject the application.
Let's say that BD did not own this property, and rather it was the residents of Chinatown who got a tad more say about this. What do you think is needed for Chinatown right now if this lot were to be offered to the residents to develop in their own?
Well, I think we need truly affordable, truly accessible housing, whether it's for seniors, for new immigrants, for new families, for the people that can actually help revitalize Chinatown, the people that will help support our legacy businesses and help maintain the sense of community that has been so strong over the last 150 years in Chinatown. But I think the other thing that is definitely necessary is again public space, publicly accessible space that can be used by anyone, that there are no restrictions, that that folks can express their culture, can tell stories, share stories, and just sh share space with each other. I think that's something that's definitely necessary. And of course, in an ideal world, the an ideal 105 Kefir development would be sensitive to its surrounding context, whether it's the Chinatown Memorial Monument and the Chinatown Memorial Square, or the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Park, or the Chinese Canadian Military Museum, or in terms of the size and massing of it, which of course the current proposal has some issues, as well as thinking about design aspects that can properly pay homage to the vernacular architecture of Chinatown without tokenizing or without creating a caricature like again the current proposal does. But ultimately, that's something that we can't really consider right now, because the only question that we're really being faced with is 105 Kefir, is BD's 105 Kefir right for Chinatown? And of course, the answer is no.
So for people who want to learn more about your work, whether It is regards directly to Chinatown today's work around opposing and bringing attention to this development, or if it's just the movement in general to oppose 105 Kiefer. Where can they learn more?
Yeah, so you can learn more at our website, which is Chinatown.today. So that's Chinatown dot Today, as well as our Instagram, which is at Chinatown.today, where we post announcements, articles, stories, and help boost others' stories in our community. In addition, with regards to 105 Kiefer, you can also check out SaveChinatownYVR.org. As well as again our website, we do and Instagram, we do post some stories and have some literature on there as well, with where you can learn a little bit more about the current fight as well as the 2017 and earlier fights for 105 Kiefer.
Now that you have stirred people to learn more, and now that they're learning more, how can people support your work around this issue?
You can support by submitting your comments to the city or signing up to speak at the hearing on June 12th through Vancouver's Shape Your City website, or sending a letter to mayor and council, city staff, or other government officials like your local MLA or MP. We've actually got a brief outline of the criteria that the DPP can consider for this application up on our website, which you can use for reference. And you can also pop over to SaveChinatownYVR.org, which also has information and updates. Even if you can't speak on the 12th, I encourage you to show up and support. Some of the seniors were at City Hall for hours on the 29th, and it's always helpful to get support on the ground in whatever ways we can. And of course, if you can share and help raise awareness for this important issue for Chinatown, we would greatly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for your time today, Russell. Big expression of solidarity to you and everybody involved.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Yeah, we're really appreciative of the solidarity, whether it's from you, as well as, of course, we've received a lot of support and solidarity from other community groups and communities like our Japanese Canadian and Nikkei neighbors, as well as Punjabi Market Collective and others. So, yeah, definitely appreciative of that. Thank you.
Unwilling to live inside of the grave.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Hair Spin by Devours. My name is Leslie, and I hope you learned a lot from Russell from our conversation just now. I'm very, very grateful for his knowledge and his time and energy for chatting with me. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to invite him onto the program today is because Chinatown means a lot to me. And as it does to many people, I was not raised in Chinatown. I was born in Vancouver, but I was raised in the suburbs. But Chinatown has an important place in my heart. When my family first came to Vancouver, they were escaping a really difficult living situation in a different province, and they were not able to make connections nor to meet community members in that province. When they got to BC, they lived in a Vancouver Chinatown SRO for 3 months that their one connection in Vancouver could set up for them. And obviously, those living situations were not ideal. SROs tend to be very dilapidated and outdated. And if I recall correctly, they didn't even have a window in their SRO, is what my mother had told me. But the one thing that kind of brought them onto their feet to begin their settlement journey here was the fact that they were living in the hub of Chinese culture in Canada, in Vancouver. They could go downstairs and buy groceries from people who spoke their language. They had neighbors who were from neighboring towns and cities. And that's what really helped them get onto their feet for those first few months. Chinatown is still a place that my family visits whenever, you know, throughout my childhood before it got really, really gentrified. You know, we would go down there for traditional medicines. Sometimes we would go grocery shopping there and always would buy our rice from Rice World. I remember when I was really young, when we were still not economically very good. Kent's Kitchen was one of the eateries that would kind of be considered a treat, because when my parents didn't have the time or energy or desire to eat or make home cooked food, they would go down to Kent's Kitchen, where they could get a lot of food for not a lot of money to feed our family and to feed us for maybe two or three meals. And now Kent's Kitchen is not in Chinatown anymore. Now a lot of those businesses that we used to go to aren't in Chinatown anymore because of gentrification. And that's not great for us, a family that lives in the suburbs who has at least one immediate family member who can help them navigate through the English-speaking world in Canada. But think about how detrimental that would be for a low-income senior who, let's say, just got her Canadian citizenship, even though she's been in Canada for maybe over 15 years, and she doesn't speak a lot of English. That's really hard. So I really hope that today's conversation with Russell has sparked an interest and mindset in you to show up for the residents of Chinatown, because so many of us Chinese people in Canada, we got our start there. So many people continue to live there. And it serves as an important and special place, not only in our history and culture, but also in Vancouver's history and culture. So please do show up for the residents of Chinatown in the ways that you can. I will share some reading material about this whole thing in the show notes of this episode's archive thing on cjsf.ca later on this week. That will include an article published in Vancouver Sun talking about urban planner Louisa May Koo's report on culturally appropriate housing. It will also contain other you know, links to Save Chinatown YVR and the work of Chinatown Today. But I wanted to leave the session with a quote that I read in an article from the Taiyi that was published a few days ago. So the article is called Chinatown Seniors Return to City Hall to Protest 105 Kiefer. And this is written by Christopher Chung. He talked to some of the elders who showed up, and this is what Ms. Huo had to say. This really is a dilemma. I see it in two ways. All cities need to grow, so why would you reject more housing? But on the other hand, who's that housing for? If you're a city planner working on a neighborhood like Chinatown, are you really going to invite more rich people to come live here? Are you using that power that you have for the good of the people? When you're making decisions, shouldn't you consider the low-income people first before the people at the top? This isn't about politics. This is about the life of everyday people. That's why I don't think this project is fair. Here is more local talent. Wow, this is Sad China and Holly BB. With Holly BB's remix of Ocean Girl. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. I hope you enjoyed today's program. If you learned anything, if you were engaged, you know, tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends to support the people in Chinatown. That's really the thesis of this episode. And of course, I'm extremely grateful for your ears on today's program. Once again, one more shout out and expression of gratitude to Chinatown Today and to Russell Cheung for his time and energy joining me on the program. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Check out Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon with your host, Charlotte Sister C. Farrell. Charlotte is an artist, a writer herself. She makes a great show highlighting local arts, writing, and poetry by local elders. So check it out. Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon every Friday from 10 to 11. Once again, I'm Leslie. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Little Pimienta. Ein Sof. Infinito. Enjoy.